This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Are you ready for the broadcast, Ben?
Do your thing, man.
Today we're talking about your article titled Learning to Say No, which appeared in the Reader on June 3rd, 2010. Sort of a tale of two wards. It talks about Chicago Public Schools wanting to build a school, planning to build a school in the city's South Side 12th Ward using tax increment financing funds skimmed from property taxes in the 3rd Ward, and the objections of 3rd Ward Alderman Pat Dowell to that arrangement. And you use this to expose sort of how this arrangement of so-called porting of TIF funds from one ward to another works and sometimes is objected to by the alderman whose wards the money is being ported from.
Mm-hmm.
I have here a map.
He always gets me when he does that.
A map of the wards in question. The map shows that the 12th ward is just to the west of the 3rd ward, roughly from Ogden down to 49th, and the 3rd ward to the east is a very long word. It kind of reminds me of the water tower, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Sears.
Or the Sears.
Sears,
yeah,
building,
yeah.
That long stretch.
And
By the way, where do you get these great maps for our listeners?
I go to the City of Chicago website.
And you find them there.
Yeah, and I copy them off the screen.
And then
I paste them into a document, and then I print them out.
That's why you're the man.
I'm a man. So we have, for our listeners' edification, listeners can go to the description of this particular broadcast to see a PDF file of this map so they know what we're talking about. And I noticed that even though these wards are adjoining, they actually butt up at corners at Ashland Avenue at 45th Street. They're not actually even contiguous.
Wow. That's amazing.
They're just kind of touching. So one might say that that makes the porting even more egregious.
Yeah, the whole concept is egregious. By the way, the 3rd ward does sort of look like an electric guitar if you...
If you hold it sideways.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or a machine gun.
I prefer the guitar.
What a ward, what a song.
I wonder if Pat Dowell plays the guitar. Well, first of all, a couple of details.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned in the article this interesting factoid, or perhaps an opinion. Sometimes the building of schools on which this article dwells results not in higher property values, but
yes,
in lower property values. When or how does that happen?
I have not done a study or survey of this, so it's anecdotal evidence. But I know of instances where there's squabbles between homeowners and the school, the kids really who go to schools. And so as a result, it's considered a detraction to be located right next to a public school, particularly a high school. When children are let out, they're often unruly. They're just being obnoxious teenagers, which I suppose is redundant. So that hurts a property's value when it's put up for sale because a prospective homeowner may not want to be, you know, bombarded with kids walking home from school. I've heard stories like this throughout the city. On all sorts of, and here on the north side around Shears High School, and on the south side around Fenger High School. And so the larger point I was making is that a TIF in its abstract form, in its essence, is supposed to fund a project that increases, directly increases, the amount of property taxes that flow into the city. And it's important to do that, for one, so you can pay for the project that the TIF is funding. That's supposed to be the essence of the TIF program. It's paying for itself. And number two, you give an incentive to the Board of Education and the Park District to lend the city their money because they're going to get something back.
Like we discussed last week.
Exactly. So if you use TIF dollars for property that pays no property taxes, you are defeating the very purpose for which the program was created.
Getting to the larger issue of outside of TIF funding, how does a new school or school renovation normally get capitalized? I'm thinking that typically the Board of Ed might put that project in the Chicago Public Schools annual budget, and then they would hire the Public Building Commission to go and build the school. Is that the typical route?
It gets at the heart of what's the best, most prudent way to fund any public project? Years and years ago, the Board of Education, this is before my time or your time, largely funded it by themselves. So they would make an estimate of how much money they expect they need to borrow to build new schools or fix crumbling schools. And they would borrow that money, and then they would have in their annual budget a line item for debt, which refers to the amount of interest they have to pay and also the amount they borrowed, the principal. And so every year they would apportion a piece of their annual budget to pay off the debt.
They just take out a construction loan, essentially.
You take out a construction loan and you pay it off with your property tax yield. Well, sometime in the 60s or 70s, this whole process was sort of brought under one roof. I actually don't even know when it was, but it was under Mayor Daley 1, and they created the Public Building Commission. And so what happened is you had many of the new schools built in the 70s were joint ventures, if you will, between different government entities. So land was so expensive, so they would build a school in a park, which, you know, I think is absurd, but that's what they did because the land was available. So I'm thinking right now of a school like Collins High School, which is in Douglas Park. You have Whitney Young, which I forget what park it's across the street, but the new Clemente is in Tule Park. Curie High School is built in a park. And you have the gym, is the Park District gets to use the gym. That's their incentive for helping finance the construction of schools. You have these joint ventures. The reality is, I guess, the schools were too broke to pay for their own construction. Moving it further into the O's, it's really a matter of political control. As long as the schools are dependent on TIF funding to build new schools and reconstruct old ones, as long as the CPS is dependent on TIF funding, they have to come hat in hand to Mayor Daley. And so it's really a matter of exercising political control for the mayor, and you know, he's very good at that.
We'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
It's good that you can be had. This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.